I'm so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And this morning, if you can say that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord and he's the friend of your life, then you're on a good path, friends. This world is crazy. Things are happening every day. Things are going so fast that it's hard to keep up with all the evil that is happening. We're on the downhill plunge. And already men's hearts and women's hearts are failing them for fear because of the terrible things that are coming upon the earth. 20 years ago, we wouldn't have realized that we were going to be in the sort of situation that we're in today as far as the world is concerned. There's moral decline. There's godless, selfish living. There's wokeness. There's violence. There's no respect for authority. The Antichrist sentiment is growing every day. And people are getting caught up in it. And you think, how could they believe these things that we're seeing in the paper? And some of the stupid things that are happening. And world leaders are making decisions that you think, God, what is happening in this world today? But I want to tell you this morning that while things are happening and the world is going to pieces, God is still in charge. The Lord our God is the master. He's the one. He's the one that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or we think. And this morning I want to tell you that God has an answer. God has an answer for all of these things. And the answer, friends, is someone that looks like you. Do you believe that this morning? You believe that if you know Jesus as your Savior and your friend, that you are a part of the answer. You're a part of what God wants to do in the lives of people around about you. I read yesterday about CBDCs, you know what they are? German economist Richard Werner said in an interview there are plans to develop a central bank digital currencies to be implanted under your skin. These implants will look like small grains of rice and they'll be put under your skin and you will be able to do all the banking you want to do. This is the cashless society. Will evil triumph? I believe that God is still in charge. God is still working his plan. Friends, we don't need to put our hands in the air and say, what's God doing? Because we know that God is at work. God is doing what he wants to do. And things are happening so quickly. I believe that God wants us to put our hands in his hand. I enjoyed being here this morning and singing those songs, and I felt the presence of the living God in this place. Don't ever doubt it, friends. When you lift your hands to God and you begin to worship, praise him, something happens on the inside. I believe that there are people here this morning that need to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You might be caught up in all sorts of things today and think, what's really happening? What's the end of this going to be? Well, friends, I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Psalm 139 says that while you were being formed in the womb, that God was overseeing all that was happening. He's put the giftings in your life for you to be successful and to be able to be a winner in this world today. The devil will say you're not good enough, or he'll remind you of your past. But friends, we need to remind him of his future. We need to be bold. We need to stand up against the evil works of the evil one. And friends, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not good enough just to spend 2 minutes in God's presence and say, that's it, Lord. Or to read out your list of wants. We need to fellowship with God. We need to spend time quietly in his presence, saying, speak to me, Lord, and the Lord will speak to you if you make time, and he will speak a personal word to you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and in hymns And in spiritual songs, the word says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a bit hard if you've got a voice like mine. But we need to live in the Spirit. We need to let our light shine. In Matthew, it says this, 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. Hey, I thought he was the light of the world. He is. But you are the light of the world with Christ living within you. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it gives light into all that are in unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Years ago, there used to be a song sung by the King's Herald. They were a Seventh-day Adventist group, and they used to sing, "Hold the fort, for I am coming." Jesus, I don't know what the word's done now, whispers still, I think it is. And we're meant to wave the answer back to heaven and say, "By thy grace we will." It's a picture of us being ensconced in a fort, scared to come out, hanging on by our fingernails. But that's not scriptural, friends. The more I read of God's word in these last days, we're meant to stand up and be counted. We're meant to be prayerful and believe for victory, to believe for miracles. Do you believe that God can do the impossible because he's wanting to do it? All we need to do is agree with him, friends. We need to tell him that we believe that you can do the impossible. We believe that you will do the impossible. And friends, we've got into a pattern of going to the doctor and sorting out things with him. But often they throw their hands in the air and say they don't know what to do. But God has a plan. Even if the doctor says you're not going to live, God has a plan that goes beyond this world, friends. And the day is coming, friends, when all of us are saying to Pastor Dave, "I'm at the pointy end. I'm coming to the end of my life." But the Lord is the Lord of the aging. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for me and for you, no matter what age you are. It's the things I believe that God wants us to be mindful, that we need to be in unity with each other in what we speak, in what we agree about, but also in the things that break fellowship. I heard somebody say once, it's the little things that hassle us and put us on the rack. You can sit upon a mountain, but not upon a tack. And I heard this too, to dwell above with those we love, it will indeed be glory. But to live below with those we know, well, that's another story. And friends, fellowship that is broken can break your relationship in such a way that it hampers your Christian life. You need to clear the decks, friends, if there's anything between you and somebody else, because God wants to use you. And should that get in the way and stop you from doing what God's will is? In Psalm 133, it says this, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robes. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord pronounced the blessing, even life forevermore." Friends, our relationship, it brings life. I need you. I do. I need you. I need people that love the Lord to get alongside me and encourage me day by day, to say, "Come on, brother, let's do it," or "Let's believe for this or believe for that." And as a church, friends, every person that comes and worships the Lord here needs to know that he has brothers alongside him, sisters alongside him, that will encourage him and lift him up. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a fishing story, because I like fishing, but I don't get to do it very often these days. But I've had great times in my life catching fish. And I heard a story about two guys that were fishing. They were 10 meters apart. And one guy was throwing out, and he was catching fish, decent sort of fish, take home fish, not just neighbor's fish, fish that you could eat. And he was pulling them in one after the other. This guy, other guy, was 10 meters away, and he wasn't catching any. Same gear, same sort of thing. And so when the fellow that was catching fish, he pulled a fish in, this other fellow said, right, I'm going to throw into his spot. So he threw his line out, cast his line out, right into the very spot where this other guy was. While he's busy taking his fish off, he thought, I'm going to get one. And he got nothing. So after a while, he said, I'll have to ask him what's going on. So he went to this fellow 10 meters away. G'day, mate. I'm just wondering why you're catching fish and nobody else is. Oh, I'm certainly not catching any. Can you tell me what the answer is? And the guy went, and the fella thought, strike. He said, look, mate, I'm very sorry, but I didn't understand what you said. Would you please repeat it? And the guy went, and he said, mate, I know you're going to get upset with me, but I couldn't understand what you're saying. And all of a sudden, the guy that was catching the fish went, spat something into his hand, and he said, you need to keep the worms warm. So what does that mean in my message today? I'm wanting to tell you, friends, that you need to keep your testimony up to date. You need to have a living relationship with Jesus. You need to know that he's standing with you and that he's rejoicing in all that's happening in your life. He wants to know, friends, so that you can tell other people what's been happening. We need to be able to give a reason for the hope that is in us. When everything's going bad, we need to be able to say, glory to God, there's somebody that's in charge of my life. There's somebody in charge of eternity. And it doesn't matter what happens, friends, as long as we have that hope in him, we're going to be all right. In Mark 1 and verse 17, Jesus came to them and he said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. You need that up-to-date testimony so that you can share it with somebody else. The other day after church, I went to the IGA just down the road from us to buy a paper. And as I went to the counter to pay for my paper, the girl said to me, what have you been doing today? And so I said, I've just come from church. And I thought that was pretty good, you know, being able to give a word like that. And then she said to me, what was the sermon about? And I went, for a couple of seconds, I thought, now what was the sermon about? And I said, it's about living out your faith in the Lord Jesus. And I said, do you know that God loves you? He always has and he always will. And then I've got people lined up behind me and I thought, that's enough. So I walked out. And then next week when I went back, she said, oh, have you been to church today? And I said, yeah. And she said, what was the message about? And I was able to tell her. And I want to tell you that she hadn't been back since. I don't know whether she decided to go to church on Sunday morning or what. But you do not know what a word in season is going to do in a person's life. And sometimes it may be just a few seconds. You might not get very much time. But the Lord can do amazing things if you're in tune with him and if you're on fire for God. In Mark 5 and verse 19, the demoniac was set free. You know the story of the Gadarenes and how the Lord Jesus went and this guy was chained up and he released him. And the fellow said, can I follow you? Normally you'd think the Lord would say, yeah, come and join us. But he said, no, go home to your family and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Go home to your family and tell them. You might get ridiculed. You might have them you know, try and pour cold water on what's happening. But listen, friends, there are people around about you that aren't around me. There are people around about you that need to hear that Jesus Christ brings life and he will give you life that's worth living. John 10:10 says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We don't want just an existence, friends. The demoniac had an existence. He was chained up to a grave. But friends, that wasn't life. That wasn't living. God wants you and me, day by day, to be alive and to be speaking words that mean and bring life. When I was a kid, I used to fall out of bed and my feet would hit the ground and I'd start running. I wanted to experience life. And I still want to do that, only I'm a bit slower at it now than I was then. But we need to have a concern for the lost. The people around about us that are going to a Christless eternity. It's not, I'm in the boat, Jack, it's all right, push off. Because that's sometimes the way that we feel or the way that we think. I remember some time ago, I don't like saying years ago, because if you've got young people that you're talking to, they say, oh, years ago, or when I was a kid, they think, well, strike, Adam was a schoolboy then, so it's not going to relate to me. But we had this fellow, or a lady in our church, whose husband was unsaved. We used to go on a Friday night, we'd pack the kids in the Holden station wagon and go into town, into the city. And we used to go to a games arcade and play with the school testers. And this guy used to come along with his wife, and we had meals together. We did all sorts of things together. And he was a nice enough guy, but he wasn't interested in the things of God. And I was really concerned for him. And I shared this with one of the elders in our church at Morley AOG it was at the time. And I said, I really want to pray for this fellow. His name was Don. I'm going to pray for him and I'm going to learn these scriptures. And at the time, there was I think it was called Every House Evangelism or something like that. It's made us clean while we're here on earth. And we can hold our heads high. We don't always get it right, friends. That's why at the end of the day, we pray and we say, Lord, forgive me if I've done something that hasn't pleased you. And friends, often I have to pray and say, Lord, please forgive me. There's an opportunity missed, or I should have said this, or I should have said that. And sometimes it's the devil getting on your case and saying you missed that and you feel bad. But God wants us to be ready for action. Action. Verbs are action words, and God wants us to be ready. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on everything that you can to divert the attacks of the enemy. But friends, we're living in God's grace and goodness. I want to tell you a story just in finishing. There was a couple who loved mushrooms. They bought a few kilograms from a roadside seller. They made mushroom omelets, mushroom salad, mushroom soup, and even creatively concocted a mushroom dessert. Their cat gobbled up the leftover mushrooms. A little while later, the woman went into the kitchen and found the cat lying on the floor, gasping for breath. She immediately phoned the vet, who said they'd probably bought some poisonous toadstools, and he advised them to go to the hospital immediately and get their stomach pumped out before they too succumbed. So when the couple returned from hospital, they expected to see the cat lifeless on the floor. Instead, it was happy in the corner with a brand new litter of kittens. What they thought were death pangs were just birth pangs. I've read a story of two guys. One looked through prison bars. One saw mud and the other saw stars. And it's a bit like this with our world situation. Some people are saying we're in the death pangs and they don't know what to do and their hearts are failing them. But I tell you what, friends, we've got more hospitals now than we've ever had, and we're needing more and more all the time. And I believe that if people knew that Jesus Christ came to take away their sins, to forgive them, to wash them, to make them clean, if they really got it into their hearts, friends, there'd be no stopping them, and there'd be no need for the heaps of things that we're needing today to try and calm us down and to keep us going. Listen, we're not in the death pangs, friends. As far as Christians are concerned, we're in the birth pangs. We want to see new life and new hope, new blessing coming day by day. And I'm so glad that we sang this morning, give thanks with a grateful heart. We have so much to be thankful for, friends. And we sometimes look around us and we see other people that have got more than we've got or whatever. Friends, I don't care. These temporal things are going to pass away, friends. But the life of Christ within is an eternal thing. It's born of the Spirit of the living God who's going to live for eternity, and we're going to join Him, friends. So be glad and be alive and be thrilled with what God is doing. We are not just also Rands, friends. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And I'm so glad this morning to name Him as my Savior and my friend. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And friends, let that get deep into our hearts this morning. There is hope for every situation that you're facing this morning. Christ the Lord is risen today, and He brings us hope, friends. If Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain. But Christ is risen. That's what the Scripture goes on to say. And He's alive, friends, to bring life to us. Can we pray this morning? Our God and Heavenly Father, I just thank You for every person that is here. Lord, You know each one. Father, You have a plan and a purpose for that person. And I pray that You'd lift them up and encourage them this morning to believe for the very best that You have for them, dear God, to live wholeheartedly and flat out, knowing, Lord, that You are with them. You will never leave them nor forsake them. Father, I pray that Your blessing will enrich every heart, my heart too, this morning. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength, I pray, because we ask it and believe for it, because, Lord, the world is depending upon a living hope. Lord, give us that hope. Give us that joy. Give us that faith in You. We pray in Jesus' mighty name, and we thank You for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank Him, friends.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. That should fire you up. Amen. You encouraged? So you have a word in due season that someone's waiting for. Amen. Taking the boldness to just step out and do. Glory to God. Thanks so much, Pastor Neil. I felt encouraged. That was great. Well, why don't we just stand this morning? I'm going to do something unusual before we leave this place. I want to give God thanks. You know, I just was saying to Pastor Neil this, before he went up to preach, the older I'm getting, the more I realize I need to fall in love with Him more and more. And that's not a fear thing. That's a gratitude thing. It's a gratitude thing. We need to love Him more and more. Amen. And as you do, the things of this world grow strangely dim. Hallelujah. So I just want us to put our hands together for Jesus, to thank Him this morning. You're a good God. And we want to say we love You. Father, we thank You. God, we ask You for Your boldness this morning. Dare to speak. Dare to be, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week, a successful week, a wonderful week in Jesus. Amen.